Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm the recruiting animal, and I think I've mentioned before that I go to Starbucks early every morning, and I write my blog and stuff like that. And if you go to Starbucks 6 o'clock, 6:30, any time between, let's say, 6 and 7:30, you'll see the same regulars there every day. There's me, the jacket, Stretch, Blondie, Mommy, Sad Sack Dad, Disheveled Guy, and Mean Steve, and a few others. They've all got names. And the other day, it was almost time for me to go, and the only people in this alcove they've got at the back, right in front of the washrooms, were me, the jacket, and Mean Steve. And suddenly, I'm working at my laptop, and this guy appears right beside my table, and I look up. He rubs his stomach and says to me, "I'm hungry, and I've only got a nickel." I said to him, "Well, then you shouldn't be shopping at Starbucks because they don't have anything for a nickel here." So he stares at me for a minute, then he moves on to Mean Steve a little further down. But Steve, he's mean. He wouldn't even look at him. He just kept reading his paper. So then he goes across the aisle to the jacket, but he must have lost his nerve by then because he only asked the jacket which of the two washrooms at the very back of the store was for the men. He went inside. And, I'll tell you a little story about those washrooms. They're very, very busy. If guys are working on the street, they use the washroom. If runners are going by on their, regular exercise route, they go to the washrooms. You're walking to work, doesn't matter if you buy a coffee, you go into those washrooms. And the disheveled guy, he washes up there every morning. I don't know if he ever buys anything. I don't think he's got any money. Anyway, so they ought to have a light in front of these washrooms that say occupied, because there's always people rattling the doors trying to get in when someone else is inside. And, that's got to be kind of upsetting, because when you're involved in the washroom, you want to keep it kind of private. Everybody knows what's going on, but it's not public business. Anyway, aside from the washrooms, the guy goes in, he comes out, he shows up again at my table, and he says to me the same thing. He says, "I'm hungry, and I've only got a nickel." I said, "What do you want me to do, buy a muffin for $1.75? "Listen," I said, "wait till I leave. I'll get you a dozen eggs around the corner for $2. He said, "How am I going to cook them?" I said, "Look, I'll buy you a quart of milk. You mix up the eggs in there. Then you can come back here and put some cinnamon and nutmeg on them, and you got yourself a hell of an eggnog. It's going to last you all day long." "Listen," he said. "Listen," he said, "I'm not really a beggar. I'm a reporter. Believe me, I'm a reporter pretending to be a beggar, and I want your name for my story." Now, these guys have a lot of nerve. They pose as beggars, and after you've been asked for money a million times, they hit on you for more. And when you say no, they blast it all over the papers to show everyone how cruel the average person is. So I said to him, I said, "You want my name? I'll tell you my name. I'm the recruiting animal, and live from Toronto, this is the recruiting animal show."
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both.
And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Now, I got to apologize. I think I wandered a bit in that story because I've been burning to tell someone about those washrooms for a very long time, so it kind of distracted me. They're very, very busy. There's a lot of money to be made there somehow, but I don't think it's fair to charge for washrooms, just so you know. Anyway, back to this episode of the Recruiting Animal Show. It is called Spung Has Sprung. And I'm calling it that because the guy who's on today, I used to know him only by the name of his blog, which is Spung, S-P-O-N-N-G. But his real name is Nick Palmer, N-I-K Palmer. And when I found that out, I said, "Nick Palmer, that's a great name for a detective. It's short, kind of blunt, like Mike Hammer." Anyway, I also think, by coincidence, that this guy should be writing detective novels, and I'm going to read you a few lines from his blog, see if you agree with me, okay? Here's one entry, actually, it's just a few lines from an entry called, "I Believe in Yesterday. I was visiting a martial arts dojo trying to discover the traitor in the school. After several days, I was training on weapons with another student. His moves were good, but he was holding back. He could obviously do more, but was careful only to use basic moves." You want to read more, don't you? Here's another one. Moxie is one of the only sodas I'll drink. It's definitely the best flavored thing out there. I usually shake it up before I open the bottle. I like it flat. Here's one more called Florida Turtles. I came upon some interesting turtles in a dirty access way along Florida's rivers and lakes. They were hanging outside a bar restaurant called Dead Vic's. The larger and presumably older one was covered in algae. Now, doesn't it have that flat, factual feel that detective novels have? And there's always something odd or ominous going on, you know, like what's happening at that dojo? What kind of oddball drinks his sodas flat? Dirty turtles in front of a bar called Dead Vic's. You know what I'm saying? But that's not all that's a bit weird about this guy. He's one of those role game players, like Dungeons and Dragons or something. And those guys are always a bit different. And I'm using a euphemism when I say different there. And he's also some kind of justice of the peace or clergyman, because I know he marries people. And he's also a martial artist, and he teaches personal empowerment trainings at a fitness center. But we've got him on here today because he's a systems engineer at AIRS, A-I-R-S, which supplies training and tools, I quote, for the recruiting and staffing industry. Now, Nick Palmer, are you there?
I am.
Okay, great. And I know Harry Joyner, Harry Palmer. Isn't that the name of the guy from the Ipcris file? That's right, Harry Palmer. I might get you guys confused for that reason. Anyway, tell me, Nick. How'd you get that name, Nick Palmer? Did your parents give it to you, or did you pick it yourself?
Well, a little of both. I was born as a Nicholas, but way back when I first started getting into the tech scene, video games only allowed you to put 3 characters in for if you got a high score. So I would sit there, and I was trying to figure out my initials, NPP. That's not very strong. It doesn't have that hard detective boiled, you know, feeling to it. I tried NIC. That was just a little soft on the end with the C. So eventually, when I was in 7th grade in middle school, I switched it over, to much annoyance of my teachers, to NIK.
Nick, okay. Settled. So tell me, what's the most important thing you have to tell us today? Should I leave that for later?
Yeah, let's figure out something later.
What's the most controversial thing? Leave it for later?
Let's see what folks
say. Okay, this is like the Three Bears. What's the least interesting thing you have to tell us?
You too can become a non-denominational minister by signing up on the web. It's a very simple process.
And when you marry people as a non-denominational minister, is it legal?
Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
Really? And how much can you charge for a ceremony like that?
That depends on the state. New Hampshire requires you charge a minimum of $10.
Uh-huh.
Some states have no base requirement fees.
Yeah.
And other states have like a $20 minimum that you have to pay as well.
Now, is that a real money-making venture? Can you make a lot of money doing that?
No, not at all.
Really? Because, you know, some people charge $300 to, you know, some clergymen to do a wedding.
Yeah, I tend to focus more on the people who I actually want to marry as opposed to using it as a business.
So it's just a fun sideline for you, right?
Right. So
well, let's
family.
Ask, what's your motivation? Why did you do that? I mean, I don't know anyone else who's done that before. I know my uncle was a justice of the peace
right.
in Jamaica, but I've never known anyone else who could marry people.
Yeah, the reason why I did it is because I almost went into the seminary. I was about a month away from becoming a Catholic priest.
Harry, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the spiritual side of things has always been important to me. And when I was back in 97, I decided that I was going to make that a significant part of my life, and figured, well, this is a good way to do it.
So this is not any kind of joke for you. You take it quite seriously, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah.
And people really enjoy your presentations then when you marry people?
So far, of the half dozen or so weddings that I've done, I've gotten 4. That was the best ceremony and most moving ceremony I've ever been to.
Really? Very nice.
Thank you so much. And then the other 2 were friends who didn't want any type of ceremony whatsoever, and those were in our living rooms.
Do you think there's a reality show in there somewhere?
We often talk that our life would be a very good reality show at my home. But,
okay.
Yeah, so far, we'll see what happens with that.
Okay, so since you want to chit-chat a bit, let's go back. What I'm most curious about, you're a martial artist, right?
That's correct.
When did you start martial arting?
When I was 7.
Your dad put you in?
No, my sister.
Really?
Yeah, I got beat up by 2 8th graders.
Yeah.
And she said, I want a brother who's big and strong and somebody who can protect me.
Really?
So being the impressionable youth as I was, I
did she just watch The Godfather or something like that?
I have no clue. I think actually she just got the, she was a very popular cheerleader type. You've seen her picture.
Yeah, and, she's cute.
And she got the wrestling team to beat up the two kids that beat me up. So.
Yeah, well, very so figured, nice. Yeah, she's an activist as well.
Yeah.
So you liked it, though. You started and you liked it.
I did, and eventually when I turned about 16 and got a car, I actually started training seriously and taking it a little bit more of something that meant something to me as opposed to something to do to make me big and tough.
Okay, and so does it have any correlation or has it melded with your spiritual inclinations?
Oh, definitely.
Tell us how.
The I study a Chinese system, is what I was based in, called Wuja Quanshu, which translates to the Wu family art of fist.
Yeah.
And that style has what's called hard and soft techniques in it. So the hard techniques are what you use when you want to hit somebody or break something.
Yeah.
And the soft techniques are the more of the meditative practice.
Kind of like...
it's all Qigong,
Tai Chi?
Qigong stuff. Yep, yep.
Okay.
Very much so. From that, my instructor was very clear that if I wanted to do this, I had to figure out how to help and heal people, not just hurt them.
Uh-huh.
That was very much part of my training from day one. So from that standpoint, it's always been a part of it. And then as I've gotten older and begun to work with people more on the meditative and individual internal side of things, I found that it's a very, very strong...
Got to talk louder.
Oh, sorry. How's this?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a
Don't
very
get too meditative on us, okay? Harry, speak up if he's getting boring or anything like that, okay?
No, I hear him just fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a very strong part of helping individuals grow and become the best people that they can be.
Okay, I see where you're going with that. Let me tell you my problem, okay? So I used to do Qigong meditation. You do that too?
I do.
Okay. And I don't know if you're this is in your system, but the system I was working in, they tell you in the books, although I went to the classes, they tell you in the books that once the energy starts flowing, you might start shaking. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I started shaking, right? But I shook so violently after a while that I couldn't do it anymore. And then I got weak. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yes.
I got weak. I don't know if I got sick from that or from something else, but I had a lot of problems. And I still shake when I relax.
When you meditate.
Well, no, I can't meditate anymore. But when I relax, I shake.
Wow, you got some tensions there.
Okay, we'll leave that. You'll heal me another time, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, anything else you should tell us about martial arts? Does it affect your work?
It does, but I have an extremely flexible work schedule, so
yeah.
When I leave in the middle of the day to go train...
I didn't mean that. I meant, you know, the spiritual orientation. Are you nicer or tougher, or does it help you be disciplined at work? I'm wondering if there's any...
Oh, hell no.
Lead off.
No, not at all. The one thing that it has done is definitely made me a little less... anxious and or stress responsive to situations.
Okay, I see where you're
up.
Going. Let me jump in there. But here's the point. It's taken years of work to achieve that, right?
Oh,
when
yes.
When you see people advertise you meditation, you know, it sounds like if you do it for a month, you're going to feel better. That's not really true.
It is not.
Okay. That's the same with everything. Any kind of personal development thing, it takes a hell of a lot of time. Those guys like those Zen monks, they meditate their whole lives, right?
They do, and they have no distractions. They have no phone calls. They have no people knocking on the door.
Yeah, but they got to go out and plow those fields or whatever. No work, no eat, right? Isn't
it depends on the order. Some of them just wait for people to bring them food.
I don't think there's end guys. But anyway, those are the begging monks. But let's go on. Are you ready to talk about work now?
I am.
Okay. What is AIRS? AIRS.
Well, depending upon... When you actually came to the AIRS fold, originally it stood for Advanced Internet Recruiting Seminar.
Oh, hold on a second. Do you agree with me about the selections I read from your blog? They sound like they're out of a detective novel, don't they?
They do. They do. I was chuckling over here.
when are you going to write a detective novel, especially the one with the dojo?
Yeah, that was a good one. That actually came out of a dream that I was in, and that was a documented dream that I
had. Oh, it wasn't for real?
No, it was not.
Oh,
yeah, I typically don't go infiltrate dojos trying to find super spies.
Well, who knows? Okay, but go ahead. Okay, we're back to work. Harry, do you have a question based on the chit-chat we've done so far?
No. I mean, it's really interesting.
That's a no, right?
I mean, no, because we could take, like, all hour. the whole hour talking about meditation and trying to figure out why you shake when you relax. And
oh, okay. Well, you can talk to me about that.
And the thing, too, about martial arts, that I find that very interesting as well.
Okay. Okay. You know what? Maybe you'll set up a course for recruiters. But go ahead. Let's talk about work now.
Right. So AIR started off the Advanced Internet Recruiting Strategies or Advanced Internet Recruiting Seminar. That was way back when, about 10, 11 years ago.
Got to talk louder.
Okay. That was about 10, 11 years ago.
Maybe you're not talking into your phone. Is that the problem?
I think actually what it is that I'm just on a crappy phone, not at my
desk.
It's
okay now. I think you're not talking into the speaker. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, go. Shoot. So it started 10 years ago. Advanced Internet Recruiting Systems?
Strategies.
Okay.
And some people call it seminar. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's meaningless. Okay, go ahead.
Right, but then eventually people just started calling up saying, we got to get the AIRs. Can you send us the AIRs?
Yeah.
And what happened was that that became the company's brand name over time.
Mm-hmm.
From there, obviously, the training systems grew. Generally, what occurred was that we taught a lot of people and a lot of recruiters how to go out and source on the Internet better. And the invariable response from most of them was, wow, this is great, but I don't have enough time to go and do all these things. So they built a software platform to start going out and automating some of the different searches and techniques. And
you have to give me an example. I don't know what you're talking about there.
So, for example, instead of having to go to, this is back in the day now, you got to put the Wayback hat on.
Back in the day. I'm sick of that saying.
Yeah, you got to put the Alta Vista hat on and,
yeah, okay,
and head over to Google.
Yeah.
And you
Alta
know,
Vista used to be the preferred one for site flipping, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So all these people would go, but they would say, oh, I don't have time to do this.
Yeah.
Especially corporate recruiters. Headhunters,
right,
not so much, but
okay,
the corporate recruiters definitely.
Okay.
So what we ended up with was building a software platform that you could go and just plug your terms in, and then behind the scenes it went and did all the search logic, hit the different search engines, deduped the results, and brought them all back. So time saver idea.
Okay. So bring us up to, because I would ask you questions about that, but I want to know what you're doing now.
So now it still does that, but it also does all the different social networks. There's some blog features. There's some referral networking tools in there. And the biggest thing is about 200 different databases, resume databases, niche and top tier, that you can go into, plug your passcodes, and it'll go and hit all
those.
Okay,
so you guys actually supply the databases now. You don't go searching others. Is that correct?
That's incorrect. We give a platform,
yep,
for people to put that data into. So,
okay. Harry, weren't we just talking about something like that?
Yeah, I use Platinum Recruiter, but it sounds like AIRS does the same thing.
There's about, from my last check, there's about 11 different software platforms, and I'd prefer not to name them all.
Okay.
But you've had a few of them on the show very recently,
uh-huh,
that do very similar types of things, and Platinum Recruiter is one of them, yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, the side of things that I work on, I obviously think that our stuff is great, but the way that I work with the tool is that I'm the guy who sits there behind the scenes.
Your title is systems engineer, is that right?
It is.
Okay.
Pretty good for somebody who got a creative writing degree.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that, but let's go ahead. First, tell us what you do.
I sit around for about 18 hours a day watching little bars go back and forth and making sure that the software platform goes. When something breaks or a new product is released, I go in and try and fix it and or break it if it's brand new and figure out all of the different little intricacies of how to get it to go right.
Okay, now it sounds like you've got one major tool. What kind of releases? What new releases are there?
This week we just launched the free referral network for all the job postings. Also an entirely revamped, although most people aren't going to see it, behind-the-scenes posting structure, so it'll distribute the job to different sites like the Indeeds and the Jobsters and the different aggregators that are out there.
So what do they call those tools that distribute job postings to targeted sites? Just job posting distribution tools or what?
I call them aggregators.
Uh-huh.
But typically they're distribution tools or posting tools.
Now, how do they know which sites, like it's automated, right? How do they know which sites this should go to? Is there a category you put it in and you've got all the different job boards categorized as well and it automatically puts them into ones that reflect that category?
I'm nodding with you. Yes, that's correct. Also, you can manually
I can see you nodding.
Yeah, you can also manually select different services as well.
So. And they do that themselves, the customers, or you do that for them?
They do that. They
oh,
do
okay.
That. The part of the that's pretty much the only interaction that I have with our client direct client base is making sure that they're that the stuff that they've paid us for is working and going on a 24/7 basis.
Okay.
The other part of my job is I work with the SPO group here at Ayers, which
what's
is
what's SPO?
That's the Sourcing Performance Optimization Group.
You know, that's, I got to tell you, it's confusing because RPO is Recruitment Process Outsourcing, right?
Yes.
HRO is, which you're familiar with, I understand, is also, it's human resources, isn't it, or human HR, you know, process outsourcing. PO stands for process outsourcing, right?
Correct.
Okay, so why are you guys bucking the system?
Because we don't do exactly what everybody else does. So got to have a little bit different name.
Okay.
But most of the people say sourcing process outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
Although with the two sourcings in that line, you know, from an English standpoint, that's a little bad grammar. So well, got to change it up a little
bit. Okay. I think it's good. I think it's good, effective branding. But let's not argue about that.
The
sourcing process outsourcing. I love it. Go ahead.
The way that that group works is we typically deal with the high-volume clients who are going in and saying, I need to hire as many of these types of individuals as you can find, be that folks to make sure that you get your coffee in the morning around the nation and world, or people to sit down and sell insurance for different companies. That group and what I've been doing with that group for the last few years is, again, building all of those back-end systems. And what we do is we completely take over the...
Can you talk loud, please?
Yep.
Shout a bit. I mean, you're a martial artist. You got the extra chi or ki or whatever you want to call it. Okay?
I do have the command voice if you want me to use it.
Yes, that's what I want.
Okay. So what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll completely build the platform for everybody so that they deal... not one lick with the recruiting aspect of it until those candidates walk through the door. You know, we'll build the CRM interface so that they're seeing all their candidates and can manage them. We'll phone call them and tell them that the opportunities
are
available.
Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with Amy from Miami? Amitai Givert?
I have read some of his blog, but that's about it.
You know what? I think he was in this business, and he recently departed from his previous employer, and he might be looking for a senior sales job. I'm just going to put it out there, anybody listening to the show, but I think he knows your business very well, and I understand he's an excellent salesperson. Harry, did you meet Amy yesterday by any chance?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I love Amy. I love Amy to death. I went down there late in the day to network, and wound up having dinner with JD and Rob McIntosh, but Amy had gone on to other things by the time I got there.
Now, Rob McIntosh is also a sourcing specialist. Do you happen to know him, Nick, by any chance?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
I have done, although I don't think that he'll recognize my name, I've built some of the software tools that Microsoft evaluated our services on.
Maybe he knows you as Spong.
Possibly.
Where does that name come from? Should I leave that for later?
Well, short version is, you remember back in the 90s when everybody was making an acronym for anything?
No.
Okay. Well, that happened in the 90s, if you were around then.
Okay.
My friends and I decided that we needed to come up with an acronym that we could make up and propagate across the web, so that was it. And I kind of took it over from the group of nerds that all made it up and kept that as my logon and screen name. And I never have any issues when I try to sign up for a service.
Okay, great. Okay, so now we're back to you're doing
SPO
mass recruiting drives for other people, right?
Right. So then what I do is I build and do QA on all of those interfaces for the different clients, and then I make sure that all of their resumes get to the end users on a daily basis.
So not to interrupt.
No, please.
But you'd said that your functionality includes telephone contact and email contact? So basically it's like automated CRM.
That's
the impression that I get. Is that right?
Yep, and we'll take it as far or as little as the company wants to go. Some folks just want us to find the candidates, dedupe them, and put them in front of them on a daily basis. Some folks want us to go ahead and make those phone calls and schedule interviews and seminar profiles or group meetings, whatever the company wants to do. Some folks just want us to send out emails for them and direct people to their corporate websites who meet different qualifications. So it really depends. And then obviously the most robust folks use a combination of all those different things.
Now, why are you essentially a quality assurance guy involved in that? Is it just an adjunct to your other job?
It's mostly an adjunct. My personal favorite thing in the world is to break puzzles apart and to figure out how and why things work.
Mm-hmm.
So Ayers is an amazing company. I started off here in sales, and when I saw that there was a need and an opportunity in this group that was quickly growing, I said, hey, I can do that stuff. And they said, all right, well, give it a shot. And I increased the system performances by about 15%, and they said, you're working here from now on.
1.5, is that a good percentage?
Well, if you're dealing trying to find 100 candidates a day, and now all of a sudden you can get 115 or 120 top quality candidates, I think that's pretty good.
Okay, now, Harry, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask Nick a question based on something that you are interested in, but I won't embarrass you, but I'm going to give out some information about Harry. Harry's interested in artists, not journeymen. He likes these exceptional types. Now, you seem to me, in the other aspects of your life, to be an artist, okay? Is there something, do you find yourself exceptional at what you're doing? I'm not asking you to brag. I'm asking you to be humble, but a humble man knows his limits, either lower or higher than the average person. Are you higher than the average guy? Is there something about you that is exceptional in what you're doing?
My mom would say yes.
My mother would say yes for me, too, but it ain't true, okay?
yeah, it is true. Okay. I don't know why I can see pictures and understand puzzles and figure out why something is doing something, but it's part of it's just having a good memory and not forgetting things that I've seen before. But the other part of it is being willing and open enough to look at a situation, look at a problem, look at a client build, and say, what's the best way that I can do this? And it can be completely different from the way that you did it yesterday.
What's a client build?
Oh, I'm sorry. Like actually setting up the accounts and setting up that CRM function for one of the clients.
What does that mean? Harry, do you understand that?
Yeah, I do. And I'm amazed at how marketing-oriented these sourcing people are. In my conversations with Rob last night, it seemed like CRM, as it pertains to candidates, was very, very important. I mean, these people, they communicate with candidates in a way that's consistent and relevant and anticipated and personal. It's all about understanding what the value proposition of the company is as an employer. And being able to present that in a meaningful way to a pool of candidates, it's very, very interesting. And now, you know, Nick seems to be on to the same thing. So I think there's a much more of a marketing mentality actually among sourcers than among recruiters.
You know, this doesn't sound like sourcing to me. It sounds like a full process, recruiting, outsourcing system. And sourcing is the first part, and then maintaining contact, the networking with these guys is the second that you also take on. Am I right about that?
I'm going to throw this out to Nick, and Nick, you tear this apart. The first guy that I ever worked for in the recruiting business, he was really good. He had a tremendous appreciation of the fundamentals, and he always said that recruiting is a sales business. Recruiting isn't a marketing business. I don't know whether I believe that, but in spending time with recruiters and sourcers, sourcers are actually more marketing-oriented, and recruiters are actually more sales-oriented.
I completely agree. That whole aspect of what you were saying about trying to maintain that consistent connection was something that I learned on my first big corporate job working for as a job board rep for Hewlett-Packard. And their biggest thing was we need to have a consistent presence across the web so that our candidates know and people who are interested in us know what to expect. And that was back in, what, 96, 97?
What are you guys talking about?
Well, what happens, we'll give you an example. Let's say we're talking about a company. That company has, say, a location in every state. Now, there's 50 different people doing 50 different things to find thousands of candidates throughout those different areas. There's a genuine risk there of having different candidate experiences that aren't always what the company wants to portray. So having that strong consistent presence up front on the sourcing side of things to say, hey, look, this is who our company is. This is what we stand for. This is why we're interested in you. Come and check us out. That's what our systems help enable, and maintaining that relationship and contact and developing that network and what we call a talent pool over time.
Because you want to hire people who are value confluent, isn't that right?
I don't necessarily know the
What's
word.
What's with all the Latin today?
No. It's not Latin.
So
I mean, it's like
confluence. Yeah, like coming.
Yeah,
together.
Like yeah. You know, for example, I did a lot of work with REI last year. You know, the outdoor, like the retailer that they sell backpacks and kayaks and stuff like that.
I have some gloves from them.
He's a wilderness guy.
Yeah, they wanted people who understood how to celebrate and live the outdoor lifestyle. And they pretty much told me, I don't know if you'd call this discrimination or whatever, but they said, if you send us candidates who are all about, like, I don't know, who wear Prada suits and stuff, that doesn't make them bad people. It just doesn't make them good REI candidates.
Right.
We want people who wear what we sell, you know? And increasingly these days, Nick, dissect this, I think what's happening is that that companies want to be authentic to their customers, right? They want to be relevant and meaningful in the lives of their customers, and the best way to do that is to hire authentic, you know, people who understand what the company is all about and really want to work there because it's fun and it's a genuine reflection of them. So REI wants backpackers. Harley-Davidson probably wants people who, you know, love motorcycles, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I completely agree with that, Harry. That's definitely what we're seeing as the sourcing side of things matures and people are starting to understand this. And when I started working with recruiters and working in this industry, I would call people up, and they didn't even have computers yet because HR was the lowest on the totem pole to get upgraded, set up, and, you know, no internet connection, no computer. Like, wow, that's crazy. But now we're starting to see people who have, you know, we have an understanding of what we need to get to make our company and keep our clients happy, successful, and continuing to do business with us. It works on both fronts. If you get the right people in, they're going to stay there longer, they're going to do better, and they're going to outperform folks who aren't really interested in those core values of the company.
Okay.
So let me ask you this.
It's a puzzle for me so far. And maybe I've got some listeners who, even though they don't understand, just like me, they've listened this far. So I'm going to sum it up for them. You're doing a bunch of different things. First, we started talking about sourcing because of that S in SPO, right? But
right.
So sourcing, you've got a software that goes out and searches the net for resumes or people, right? Identities, you know, like Zoom, for instance. It's like a search engine, right?
Yep.
So you've got a search engine whatever, various kinds of search engines, let's say. I don't know. But it goes out. You've got automated online searches for these guys. Then you actually you post jobs as well on relevant job sites for the searches. Not only look for people all over the net, you also post jobs. And then with the people you find, you guys actually network with those people. Is that right?
That's correct.
And okay, and then this is where all the stuff that Harry's talking about in the placing the job ad, which I assume you must have something to do with, in targeting the people you're sourcing, and then communicating with the people you're sourcing, you try to stay on brand. Is that everything summed up so far?
Yes.
Market to them as well, don't you? So
correct.
You set up telephone programs and email programs. Do you use direct mail to get to them?
We have done direct mail in the past, but we typically, our group specifically, sticks on the plain internet side of things. I think that's funny that I think the internet is plain and mail is fancy now. but yeah, we pretty much stick to the digital formats and phone calls. So that's the extent that we go into. We have had clients who will take the database of candidates that we've developed these relationships with and then go ahead and use a direct mail feature with their own materials that they've built and used in the past, and they use the database that we've helped them build to execute that with. But, yeah, as from a direct mail standpoint, we personally do not send any of that out.
Do you put up blogs and microsites?
We do not. We do not. That's something that we, if the client is interested in doing, we will work with and direct people over there. But that's a little outside because that's more of a company, company forward marketing and communication effort. And we want to be the man behind the curtain. We don't want to be out in front necessarily directly working with those candidates and communicating to them. We'll communicate the message that the company wants, and we'll help the company build those messages, but we don't want to be the ones out in front of the curtain.
So to put a bow on this whole first part of the conversation, what AIRS does is you're in the business of compiling lists of relevant candidates and then helping your client companies market to them in a permission-based CRM-intensive way. Is that correct?
That's a good way to put it, yep.
Got it.
And the other part of that is obviously the basic online screening and, again, getting them in to speak to the client side. And that's where we step away. As soon as the person...
Louder.
As soon as the candidate says, I want to come in and meet with you, at that point in time, we're done with them. And they move over into their client side ATS or move into their office and whatever setup they have at that point in time.
And that's mainly for, I got a couple of questions. That's for large volume recruiting primarily. Is that right?
Right. That's the side of things that I specifically work on.
Okay. Like Harry's looking for these, you know, stars as VP e-commerce or something. You're not looking for one-off guys like that. Am I right?
That's correct. Now, the people who buy our software, like end users who buy the software,
yeah,
they will use it for things like that. And, you know, going and hunting down the purple squirrels and green punk rockers and, you know, REI, outdoorsy people, whatever you're looking for, yeah. But from the high volume, the SPO side of things, if you're not looking to hire 100, if not as many as you could hire,
yeah,
then that's not the right type of service.
Okay, now and here's something else I don't understand. I keep saying you source these guys, you place the job ads, then you network with them. But Harry keeps using the word marketing. What's the difference? Harry, what do you mean when you say marketing, or maybe Nick, you'll tell me, as opposed to just recruiting?
I'll take that one if you want, Harry.
Sure.
The market, where I view the difference between what Harry was saying earlier, between marketing equals sourcing and sales equals recruiting, is that point that I just mentioned a moment ago. As soon as that candidate says, yes, I'm interested, I want to come meet you, I want to talk to you on the phone, that's the point where it changes from marketing to sales. So that's the point where it changes from sourcing to recruiting. Would
Harry,
you agree with that?
Yeah, within the context of this conversation, sure, because Nick at the beginning of the conversation said that we don't start recruiting or put on our recruiting hat until the candidate walks through the door.
Okay, so that's what you
So everything else is marketing.
Okay.
It's just like the difference between real sales and real marketing. It's like marketing is all about customer attraction and sales is really all about conversion.
Okay.
You follow me?
Okay.
I mean, but just pile on that.
No, that's fine. Okay. What should we talk about next? You guys seem to know more than me.
I've got some questions.
Go ahead.
Do you mind if I just...
Please do.
Is it just us three? I think it's just us three today.
Just us three. Maureen is, I think, having a granddaughter or a grandson today. It's scary, isn't it? I didn't think... And JD's down in Atlanta. I don't know where Manister is. Do the regulars? No one of the regulars called in. Sorry, Nick.
That's okay. I scare people off all the time.
Well, all right.
I think you're a behind-the-scenes guy. Nobody knows you, right?
That's true.
They can go and listen to this afterwards. It's going to be there within about a half an hour after we're done. So make
all right. So, Nick, here's the question.
Sure.
My clients and candidates, my candidates particularly, are the rock stars of the e-commerce space. So my clients are people like... Williams-Sonoma, A&E Television, folks like Amazon.com, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that with regards to marketing, there are really three components. There's attraction, conversion, and retention. What it sounds like is potentially, that's the operative word here, potentially within the purview of AIRS is the attraction piece, where in addition to sourcing and list building, you might in the future do affiliate marketing or mobile marketing or help companies with Web 2.0 applications and online communities like Facebook. Do you do any organic and paid search programs?
We do not.
Powder.
We do not. We do not, yeah. And I agree with you. We're, specifically the group that I work with within here, which is not the, like, if you were to call up, you wouldn't talk to our group when you would call in here. But our group pretty much stops right at that conversion line. As soon as those candidates are starting to convert over, that's where we say, okay, great company, here you go. Best of success to you. Here's the folks that you've got to convert over.
How many people work for Ayers now?
We have just under 60 employees. About half of them are remote, and about half of them are here in the corporate headquarters.
When you say remote, what are they, like home-based business, you know, people who, like, source?
Over half our sales team is based regionally around the country. We only have a few salespeople here in the corporate office. Our network sysadmin is remote. I work remotely well over half the time. Since we base everything on a strong technology platform, as long as you have access to the platform, you can pretty much do anything that you want from anywhere.
So your business is really, it's a technology-driven business.
Oh, completely, completely. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then obviously we have the humans on the side of it who are making those phone calls, talking to the candidates, getting them into the interviews or the career profile events that the clients have.
Huh.
Now, Harry, why did you ask that question about all those? I can't remember what it was, to tell you the truth. And he said, no, he's not involved.
The question was, is your business a technology-driven business?
No, earlier, the initial question.
The attraction, conversion, and retention.
Why did I ask that?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get a sense for, just in talking with sourcers out there, how marketing-oriented sourcers are, whether they know it or not. I mean, I'm a marketer, right? And I know what marketing is. It doesn't mean I'm any good at it, but I mean I'm a fan of it, and I know what it is. And just in my discussions with sourcers, I'll tell you what, there's a burgeoning database marketing mentality among sourcers, and that's a business that's very interesting to me.
How
does
it differ from regular recruiting?
Because I think the thing that – I don't want to talk about myself. This discussion is really all about Nick, but I think the thing that differentiates me is, number one, the affinity that I have with electronic commerce versus my competitors, and number two, I think, thanks be to God, I'm an incredible storyteller, right? And so my number one thing in taking a search is I ask myself, can this search be closed on the back of a single story? Now, this call isn't about me. This call is about Ayers and Nick. But what's interesting is that what helps me make money as a recruiter is my sales ability. What helps me make money as a sourcer, right, because you need recruiting ability and sourcing ability to really make things happen in this industry, is my marketing ability. Sourcing, I think, is marketing. And Ayers seems to be among the best at doing that.
You mean marketing in the sense of, like, data mining to start off with, right?
That's part of it, definitely.
Right.
Yeah,
other part of it, at least from my side of it, the other part of it is that consistent, coherent message. And to use the example that I tossed out earlier, if you've got 50 offices in every state and different recruiting and marketing practices in all of those, you know, what happens when the person in Philadelphia starts emailing people across the border in New Jersey trying to say, hey, come on down to our office, and then you've got the people in New Jersey sending them a completely different message from the same company, you know, saying, hey, what are you doing over here? Come on up to our office in New Jersey. You end up with a bad impression on the candidate side. Your company looks like crap, and you end up upsetting people, if not getting tossed over to the CAN spam compliance authorities at the federal government. So the other thing that is very important, especially from the high volume side of things, is that compliance, record keeping, and making sure that everyone consistently gets that same message and that it's not one that this person over here is inventing and then that person over there is inventing. It's a coherent message that demonstrates the core values and message of that company.
You believe there's only 15 minutes left in this show?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And this call could have lasted 2 hours. My antenna are like straight up. This is, yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, because you know what the world's greatest direct mail marketers have said is that there's in any marketing initiative, any it doesn't matter what the initiative is, success is driven by the quality of the list. They say that a great list with a crappy message will deliver significantly higher yields than a great message with a crappy list. And Gary Halbert, who recently died, but he was one of the world's greatest direct mailers, uses as an example, and then Nick, you pile in on this, he uses an example of if my wife were to deliver twins, right, and I was somewhere, you know, in a crowded bar or whatever, if somebody came up to me and gave me that message, it wouldn't matter how poorly that message was delivered, whether or not they stuttered and stammered and stumbled through it, because it's so relevant to me personally, I would pay attention. Right? And so that's the essence of marketing to a great list. So these guys at Ayers are obviously in, you know, one of their core competencies is the compilation of really great lists. Is that correct?
I definitely think so. That's before we even turn anything on for a client, there's hours and hours of discussions over what types of people, where do they want these people to be located at or move to, you know, yeah, figuring that out is imperative on having that cohesive, consistent message to go out.
Who decides on the nature of the message, you or the client?
The people who actually deal with the clients face-to-face, the account managers and my bosses, the VP of the group. And obviously that's done in conjunction with the clients.
What do you do if a client wants to deliver a message that you know in your heart of hearts is a clunky message?
How much are they paying us?
You're kidding. Hold on. Don't say any more about that. I don't want to get you fired. But let me ask you.
Part of what I do in sitting here and sitting behind the scenes and watching stuff is dealing with just that issue. And it's dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And typically, if you can present the data correctly and say, hey, look, this is the returns you're getting. This is what I see as places where we can do some improvement or tweak on the types of people that you're pulling in or tweak the message a little bit here. Something as simple as using a hello first name, you know, automated field can make the world of difference in a message. I've seen some very, very crappy messages in my day. And that's something that we do focus on and try to mitigate because in the end, they're going, all the stuff is coming out of our servers. All this stuff is, and it's our heads on the block in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months if this client says, you know, we're not getting the results. And it could have been that crappy message. It could have been the crappy sourcing.
Right.
We want to cut that stuff out as quickly as possible. I find that it takes about 10 days of online sourcing and online activity before you can draw any relevant data to those points. But after doing this for the last 3 or 4 years and the people who I work with who have been doing it for 7 to 10 years, it's pretty easy to figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work and what's sitting on the fence.
After you've had a client relationship for 6 months or a year, how frequently does the client say, okay, we know what Ayers does. We know how they do it. We're just going to do it ourselves. And they throw you guys in the river. How often does that happen?
I would have to say that it, let's see. I shouldn't answer that question on the air because I don't know if I'm allowed to or not.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You know, yeah. Watch yourself, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to take a step back from that one. But I can put you in touch with somebody who would be able to answer.
Not that important right now. Okay, let me ask a question, Harry.
No. Shut up.
Okay, this guy, Nick, says, I got a few questions because we're coming near the end. Okay.
Oh, is this the rapid-fire question?
Yeah, this year in the lightning round. Shut up.
I used to be in sales and customer service and know how to make a client feel good. What does that mean, you know how to make a client feel good, and how's it relevant to the things we've been saying? I'm going to tell you my other two questions so you can be thinking of them as well. So you said there's people who buy software from you, and there's also people who do these large volume searches through you. Who, you know, what should, let's say you were here as a on a marketing call, which really you're not, but let's say you were, what would the message you want to put out to recruiters like me and Harry, who are small-time operators, and these larger corporate recruiters as well? So first, I want to know, what does it mean that you know how to make a customer feel good?
Part of that is delivering results on a timely and expected manner.
Okay, that's straightforward.
But the biggest thing that I've found and the general practice that I follow when I was dealing with clients is that everything is their idea. I try to steer individuals to the right, or what I believe is the right solution, by providing information and providing data that allows them to make up their mind in the way that I want them to. It's about presenting the case correctly. If you and Harry will probably vouch for this, if you tell a story one way, you can have a very different effect than if you tell it a different way. So the goal that I try to follow is to be clear on expectations, deliver on those expectations, and if we need to come to some type of decision, I want that decision to be made by the client with the best information possible.
Yeah, but you try to steer their expectations as much as you can, just like...
Yeah, that's why I don't deal with clients anymore.
You said you were a good salesperson, right?
I can do it, yep.
Okay. What about the other things, like AIRS? What are they offering to people like... It sounds like pretty obvious what they're offering to large corporations, you know, who recruit 100 or more people at a time. What are they offering to people like me and Harry, aside from trainings? Anything?
Yes. The software platform is extremely robust. It's not the cheapest one out there, but it definitely is the best, I believe, it's the best supported,
uh-huh.
And it is one of the most robust. Pretty much anything that you want to do from a candidate marketing perspective, as of today, when we launched the referral systems off, you can do it in there. And I've been challenged. Can I do this? I'm like, yeah, let me go in. And typically within about an hour, I could figure out a way to build everything from year-long campaigns for people who are recently hired at a competitor that you want to woo away, down to sourcing profiles off of the LinkedIn, Zoom, and Spoke. You know, yeah, we want to figure out a way to target all these people when they pop up new. Okay, yeah.
So you can do an automated search off LinkedIn?
There are ways. They teach some of them in our classes.
Uh-huh. Okay, I don't want to give away too many of your secrets. Now, if you were interviewing yourself, what haven't I asked you that I should be asking you so far? Or what hasn't Harry asked you that I should be asking you?
Professionally, or what's up with all the dogs?
Professionally. No, Spong, we'll bring you back to for your personal life another time.
All right. I think that why do I do what I do?
Okay.
That's the one that I don't think that has been answered. And I think that I mentioned how I found this job, which was that this SPO group was growing, and I saw some areas that could be improved. And
you had a business
relationship
with them beforehand, anyway.
Oh yeah, I was selling their products.
Okay.
So yeah, well, I was part of the company already.
I see what you mean. Okay.
And I just I shifted groups inside of the company, but it's a little weird. I mean, I work 6 days a week, 18 hours a day on call, and that is a very demanding thing. But at the same time, I get a strong amount of freedom, and I have a lot of power and responsibility in making sure that this software platform that people are paying us thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars for, is running. So it's cool. I have direct involvement with client outcomes, and conveniently, I don't have to speak to the clients too often.
Well, okay, you know what? That wasn't the kind of thing I was looking for. What's the most controversial thing you have to tell us? I'll go back to the beginning.
The most controversial thing, sourcing today is going away. We are not going to be sourcing the same way that we've been sourcing over the last few years, and you yourself are part of that dynamic and change. I mean, look at what you're doing with the networking and the difference in terms of how recruiters are communicating and distributing their knowledge across the web at this point in time. I think that we are going to see a rise of video outside of the U.S., and that's going to cause the U.S. to fall behind a little bit in terms of...
Louder, please.
Oh, sorry. I think that that's going to cause the U.S. to fall behind a little bit in terms of their approach towards online networking and recruiting. What my hope is that we...
What does that mean, use of video? By who? Advertisers, people who are recruiting, companies that want to recruit, they'll use video?
No, I think that in terms of video networking, video conferencing, and using video resumes and that sort of thing is going to be a big problem for U.S. companies in the next few years.
Why?
Because of the equal opportunity, the aspect of adoption, I just don't think from my conversations that most of the recruiters that I deal with on a day-to-day basis are ready for the power that the Internet specifically is offering both the candidates and the recruiters to take advantage.
Okay, so I'm going to go over time. I've got to find out. I would never look at a video resume unless I'd already picked a guy out for some other reason. I don't see that as a real competitive angle. Let's say everybody in China is using video resumes.
No, but let's say you hop on and you're tooling around on Facebook or poking around on MySpace and
yeah.
you see somebody who does a personal empowerment presentation.
Yeah.
Hey, wow, I want to hire that guy to come in and talk to my company.
Yeah.
These types of networking and this type of knowledge that you can gain is so completely different and foreign to the way that the recruiting industry has functioned in the past. It's not different for networkers. What is different is from a recruiting with a capital R.
And why do you think it's going to change?
Because
I personally don't see what you're talking about. Like, I don't get it.
Okay. I think that it's going to change because of the way that people, and especially these next two generations that are coming up behind me, the ones who didn't see Star Wars in the movie theaters the first time.
I saw John Hartford, by the way, here in Toronto.
Oh, I'm very jealous.
Okay, go ahead.
The next generations that are coming up are going to be communicating, networking, and managing their social interactions in a completely different way than people are doing right now.
What, you're going to be recruiting on Facebook? You really think so?
Oh, hell yeah. I've made two hires already.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You know they kicked Harry off, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so you think that there's going to be like this... See, I don't get it. Well, like we were talking about mass recruiting.
But yeah, you're not...
Kind of video recruiting and Facebook recruiting, those are kind of one-off hires. Or, you know, it's hard to get a mass...
No, it's going to be a massive trend.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in the future, it's going to... And what's going to happen, according to my candidates, is that... And I don't really understand this, but there are going to be bots or something out there that is going to help take video and provide transcripts of the video so that it'll be searchable.
Oh,
you can find out basically what the content is of a video and where the keywords are, and you can pull forward to 10 minutes and 35 seconds in the video and actually see a video of me talking about, you know, whatever, see how I present my ideas.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's going to be a huge, huge deal. I regret getting kicked off of Facebook.
Spong,
Facebook's
going to
be massive.
On? I'm going to start calling you Spong now. Can you get him back on?
You might get your ass kicked. He's a black belt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's far away in New Hampshire. He doesn't like coming out of the woods, you can tell. He's working 18 hours a day. I have a hard time believing that because he doesn't...
No, on call. On call 18
on
hours.
On call, okay,
yeah.
On call. Okay, so you told us that. Is there anything else that's really, you said it's controversial? Obviously, I'm controversing with you about it. Anything else about that we should know that's controversial?
Have you ever been in a smart mob yet?
You know what? The name rings a bell, but I've never been in a smart... I don't know what a smart mob is.
He doesn't have any smart friends. That's a problem.
Yeah, there you go. Do some look into it, and then you'll see kind of how and what I'm talking about and where things are going to move to and how all that's going to play into networking, recruiting, and social interactions.
Smart mob. Harry, do you know what it is?
No.
Okay.
Why would I know what a smart mob is?
I don't know. He knows that you're agreeing with him, so I assume you must, right? Okay, Spong... What's the most important thing that we should know? You told us the most controversial. Are they the same things?
I think so. I definitely do.
So if we want to be ahead of the pack, what should we do?
You need to find out what a smart mob is, be involved with one, and see kind of how this plays out.
I bet you I know what a smart mob is. It's what Chally or other recruiters would call a pipeline, a talent pool.
No, it's when actually a bunch of people start texting each other and saying, hey, we're all gathering here right now doing this
one
thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's not called a smart mob, is it?
Yes.
That's when you all go to one place at one time, but you have to be in the same city, right?
You could be in the same city, but soon that's going to change because of the way that people can connect and interact, and you're going to have people doing the same types of things and executing activities based on this stuff. And think about this if you just put it in a recruiting perspective. All right, fine. Let's go ahead and text everybody in our phone database right now that we're having an open house, you know, tonight, and there is hot wings and soda, you know, available. Come on.
Yeah, but
down.
Didn't I write about something called SoSoMo or something like that a while ago?
Yep,
like,
and that's similar. It's very similar, yeah.
Okay. Now I got to make a confession here. No one's listening at this late in the show, I don't think. But you know, just in case they are, I went to Facebook. If when you want to invite somebody, they make fair Harry. I know you don't know. They make you put in a code, like they show you those numbers that are hard to read because they're all messed up. And so if I want to invite Spong to be my friend, I have to put in like AEFROU and do it every time. But
no, you don't. No, you don't.
What?
No, you don't. All you have to do is put in your mobile phone number and
yes,
say.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Ah, okay.
But then they send you a text message so you can validate that, and I can't access my text message. I don't know. I've never used a text message. I can't find it on my phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And
okay.
This is why it's controversial for you.
That's why you'll never be in a smart mob.
Well, I probably wouldn't be in a smart mob anyway, okay?
Come on. You know you want to get dressed up like a zombie and go raid the local
McDonald's. I do dress like a zombie already, but that's another story. Okay, so anything else like that? Anything record-breaking or you know, that you can wake guys like me up with?
Can I ask one last question?
Go ahead, yeah.
All right, here's the last question. 5 years from now, I mean, okay, number one, I'm going to start with an assumption. I presume that your account managers deal primarily with the human resources department. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. A lot of times it's dealing with more mid and senior level executive because we're doing policy change on the entire department in terms of their sourcing activity.
But the discussions have a human resources sort of angle to them. Is that correct?
There is always somebody from HR involved, yeah.
Okay. 5 years from now, which is a long time in internet years, how do you see the ratio of marketing people versus HR people evolving in these conversations?
I think your HR people are going to be far fewer, and the marketing people are going to be much more prevalent.
That's all I needed to know.
Okay.
This has been incredibly enlightening.
Well, you sound so much different than I thought. You're not as weird as I thought you would be. You know, that's your persona online. And maybe that's the real thing. And here you just sound like a techie who, you know, seems like he was successful in sales, but finally found his right niche looking at stripes on a screen, right?
That's it.
Yeah, but you're very articulate. I hope we can have you back. I'm going to find out more about smart mobs, although I think I know quite a bit. I didn't know the name. That was the problem. I think there's a synonym for that you didn't use just to trick me, to make the animal look a bit stupid. You won't get away with it. Next time around, I'll be ready. Anything you'd like to say, closing words or predictions? You already made enough predictions for me, but I'll give you a chance.
Well, my weekly staff meeting got moved back on Wednesday afternoon, so I'll actually be able to make a few calls from now on.
Oh, okay, good. That's a prediction?
Yeah.
Okay. Harry, any predictions? Any last words?
No. That's okay. It. It's been incredibly enlightening.
Okay, Alicia Keys gets the last word. Thank you, guys.
This is Alicia Keys. What's up, everybody out there listening? I want to wish you a very, very happy holidays. Be safe and have a good time.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye-bye.